蓝天之下，让梦想起航；
绿洲之中，让心灵放松。欢迎来到
蓝天绿洲 Heaven Today。
当耶稣说“我就是道路、真理、生命”时，你有怎样的感受呢？尽管我们会潜意识地问一句：“什么道路？什么真理？什么生命呀？”但不得不说的就是，这句话的震慑力太强大了，强到我们把自己的问题吞了下去，选择继续听耶稣说。你正在收听到的是良友电台的中英双语节目《蓝天绿洲 Heaven Today》，我是乐心。
Welcome to Haven Today. I'm Charles Morris, sharing the great story that's all about Jesus. Today we arrive at John chapter 14. Jesus in the upper room with his disciples. He's preparing them for the coming crucifixion. And he tells them that he's going to prepare a place for them. But Thomas, he's uncertain. And he asks an honest question: how can we know the way? In some ways, he's like Tarzan, not wanting to ask for directions in a recent TV commercial.
I think we should have taken a left at the river.
Tarzan, no. Where did Tarzan go?
Tarzan does not know where Tarzan go.
Hey, excuse me, do you know where the waterfall is? Waterfall?
No, no. Me, Tarzan, king of jungle.
Why don't you want to...
If you're a couple, you fight over directions. That's what you do.
Tarzan and Jane from a Geico TV commercial. Have you ever been in that situation? Perhaps you've been in a side seat or you've been a backstreet driver questioning whether the person behind the wheel really knew where he or she was heading. If there is one common human experience, is that we don't enjoy not knowing where we're going, especially in life. And in these next few minutes, we're going to hear how Jesus gives the best directions. Do you want to know the way in life? Do you want to know truth? Then look no further. We're going to find all that through Jesus Christ alone in just a moment.
是的，正像 Charles 说的，我们人呢，都不喜欢在不知道前路方向的时候就出发行动，这样呢，会觉得特别没有安全感。不知道出了门之后到底是向左转呢还是向右转。昨天晚上乐心参加了一个向慕道友传福音的聚会，那个牧师就讲到了耶稣说的：我就是道路、真理和生命，若不借着我，没有人能到父那里去。这句话说的是多么的绝对，多么的确定呀，没有第二个选项，也没有任何的后备方案。诚然，这么绝对的宣告对慕道友来说是个不小的挑战，但谁又能否认这个宣告对身为基督徒的你和我来说就容易领受了呢？求神保守，接下来的节目时间里，让我们在圣灵的光照下明白主耶稣在约翰福音十四章说的话。
Who, oh Lord, could save themselves, their own soul could heal.Our shame was deeper than the sea. Your grace is deep still. Who, oh Lord, could save themselves? Their own soul could heal. Our shame was deeperYour grace is deeper still. And you alone can rescue. You alone can save. You alone can lift us from the grave. You came down to find us, led us out of death. To you alone belongs the highest praise.The great divide you heal.
This is Haven Today, and You Alone Can Rescue. Great song, Matt Redman. In a moment, we're going to hear some of Jesus' most well-known words from John 14, one of those great I Am statements. But first, I want you to meet Bertha Kramlich. She's from Portland, Oregon, and she listens to the program on KPDQ. And she called in to share how the Gospel of John influenced her life ever since she was a little girl.
When I was a young child in Ekalaka, Montana, and in Daily Vacation Bible School, our assignment was to memorize John 1:1-12. And there was a prize for the person that memorized the most verses during that week of Vacation Bible School in that little tiny storefront Pentecostal church. So my brother and I were very good at memorizing, so we vied and tied for the prize. And so the teacher gave each one of us a nice book for doing that. But, you know, I puzzled about, in the beginning was the Word. Why would they call a person the Word? And that has resonated with me all my life long, and I'm 81 and a half years old. And I've been taken to the book of John many times in my life. Like to John 6, what Jesus said about, I am the bread of life. And they went away because he said that. And then he explained, don't you understand? He said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. My pastor at Ascension Presbyterian Church in Hillsboro, Oregon, is teaching on the book of John, and it is so in-depth. It is so wonderful and riveting and convicting and enriching. And I'm so thankful for the book of John and what it's meant to me in my life.
Thanks so much for sharing with us, Bertha. I'm always encouraged to hear how God's word has been truth, been light in a Christian's life. Haven Today, I'm Charles Morris. And let me just ask you, what is the way to God the Father? That, in John 14, is what Thomas asked Jesus in the upper room. Now, maybe that was the wrong question. It seems Jesus' disciples in John 14 were missing the point that he was trying to teach. And who could blame them? Let's listen to John 14, word for word, portrayed in the Gospel of John DVD.
Do not be worried and upset. Believe in God. And believe also in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house. And I am going to prepare a place for you. I would not tell you this if it were not so. And after I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to myself, so that you will be where I am. You know the way that leads to the place where I am going.
Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way to get there?
I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. Now that you have known me, you will know my Father also. And from now on, you do know him. And you have seen him.
Lord, show us the Father. That is all we need.
For a long time, I have been with you all. Yet you do not know me, Philip. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Why then do you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe, Philip, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I have spoken to you do not come from me. The Father who remains in me does his own work.
That's the first 11 verses of John 14 from the Gospel of John DVD. This chapter comes in what's called historically the Upper Room Discourse, Jesus' final words with his disciples before going to the cross on their behalf and your behalf and mine. He's telling them that he's going to have to leave. And this sad reality is dawning on his disciples. But did you hear there was hope in his words? Don't let your hearts be troubled, Jesus said. He tells them that he's only going away to make their beds for them, in a sense. He's going to prepare this place for them. Not only that, he promises to come back to receive them and take them to where he is. Jesus going away turns out to be a good thing. And it's something we need to hear over and over again. Jesus may be physically absent, but he's never left his people. He's always with us, even to the end of the age. There's a little wordplay happening in verses 4 and 5. Jesus telling his disciples they know the way. But then there's good old Thomas, being an astute observer, the doubter, pointing out that Jesus hasn't told them where he is going yet. How can they know the way if they don't know where he was going? What's the way? Well, if you're familiar with John, you know Jesus' answer. Again, this is one of the seven great I ams of John, the Gospel. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. For Jesus, what is the way is a bad question. Maybe Thomas should have asked, who is the way? See, Jesus has been telling his disciples that he's going away to the Father. And for sinful people like the disciples, like you and me, there's not a list of GPS directions that'll get us there. In our own strength, we always make wrong turns, don't we? Jesus knew that if we tried on our own to make our own way to the Father, we'd never make it to the Father. Our only way to the Father is through the person of Jesus Christ. So Jesus refocuses us on the way himself. He leads us to the Father because he and the Father are one, like he tells us in John 10. See, Jesus brings us to the Father because Jesus is the Word who was in the beginning with the Father. When you and I come to Jesus, we don't just make our way to a human Messiah, as amazing as that would be. We come to God, Almighty God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. And as God's Word, Jesus reveals God the Father to us as well as himself. This is why he says, no one can come to the Father except through me. He reveals the Father. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he brings us to the Father. Like we hear in John 14, starting at verse 15.
If you love me, you will obey my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, who will stay with you forever. He is the Spirit who reveals the truth about God. The world cannot receive him, because it cannot see him or know him. But you know him, because he remains with you and is in you. When I go, you will not be left all alone. I will come back to you. In a little while, the world will see me no more. But you will see me. And because I live, you also will live. When that day comes, you will know that I am in my Father and that you are in me, just as I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. My Father will love those who love me. I too will love them and reveal myself to them.
John 14, 15 through 21 from the Gospel of John DVD. Did you hear that promise from Jesus? He said he would not leave his people. Good news. When we're going through suffering of any sort, when we are struggling with sin, it might seem like the Lord has left us. But Jesus says in this chapter that he hasn't left us. We know that because of the Spirit. First, did you notice that Jesus called the Spirit? Well, most importantly, he says the Spirit is a person. He calls the Spirit he. The Spirit is not an impersonal force or an abstract entity. The Holy Spirit is a person. In fact, Jesus calls him an advocate, but not just an advocate, another advocate. When Jesus says this, he's telling us that the Holy Spirit is equal to himself. Jesus implicitly telling us that he is an advocate and the Holy Spirit is another advocate. An advocate helps, supports, acts on behalf of another for our benefit. Jesus does that for us by living and dying on our behalf. The Spirit does this by giving us new life in Christ. Jesus tells us something profound about the new covenant kind of life here. It's the age of the Spirit. The Spirit was active in Old Testament times, but not to the same degree that we experience him today. Jesus tells the disciples that the Spirit has been with them. He has made himself known through the powerful acts of Christ. But Jesus says something even more profound. He will be in you. The Holy Spirit is given by Christ to indwell believers. And that means he's active inside us, leading us on and in to the truth. In fact, he is even the Spirit of truth. As Jesus leaves, he gives the disciples a promise. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And what does that mean? What's it mean to be an orphan? It means to be without a father. Jesus promises that his people will not be fatherless. He says he will come to them. And how does he come to us? He comes by way of the Holy Spirit. See the Trinity at work here? And it's only possible if Jesus went away. He's talking about his ascension. When King Jesus returned to heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, but before that he had to die. But on the third day he rose again. But because he lives, he gives us new life. And the news for those who believe is that we have access to the Father by the Spirit through the death and resurrection of the Son. That's the message in John 14. Jesus calling us to believe in him because through him we can experience the fullness of life he intends us to have. Praise the Lord.
Help.
Susan Ashton, Michelle Toombs, Christine Dente, Beautiful Savior.
十四章里面一共讲到了三个门徒回应了主耶稣。多马问：“主啊，我们不知道你去的地方，怎能知道那条路呢？”腓力说：“主啊，请把父显示给我们，我们就满足了。”最后是犹大在讲话。约翰特别注明清楚了，这个犹大不是加略人犹大。他问耶稣：“你为什么要亲自向我们显现，不向世人显现呢？”就像 Charles 说到的，门徒问的这些问题也正好是我们想问耶稣的问题。主耶稣谈属灵的事情，门徒问的却是实际的物质性的问题。我们有时候不也这样吗？耶稣对腓力说：“我与你们在一起这么久了，你还不认识我吗？那看见了我的就是看见了父，你怎么还说把父显示给我们呢？”耶稣一方面交代他所传的真理是从父那里来的，父是真理的源头，另外一方面呢，耶稣把自己与父同等看待，所以说你们看见了我就是看见了父。那这句话会让我们想到什么呢？格罗西书说，神乐意使所有的丰盛都住在爱子里面，又说到一切智慧和知识的宝库都蕴藏在基督耶稣里。希伯来书一开始就说到，基督是神荣耀的光辉，是神本质的真相。马丁路德鼓励他的学生逃避隐藏的上帝，转来寻找耶稣。这句话又怎么理解呢？杨飞利就说，如果用一个放大镜来检查一幅图画，在放大镜中间的部分呢，图画会非常的清楚，可是放大镜周围的图画就会变形了。对我个人而言，耶稣就是那个焦点。当我探索那些上帝主权与人的自由意志这一类令人无解的问题时，我的世界就会变得迷茫起来。然而当我定睛注视在耶稣身上，注视在他如何对待受苦的人，如何呼召人自由而勤奋的时候，那么这一切就显得清晰明亮了。当我想一些像如果神已经什么都知道了，为什么还要祷告这类型的问题时呢，我就容易把自己搞到一种属灵的厌倦的光景中。耶稣能够使这类的问题悄无声息，因为耶稣祷告，所以我们就应该祷告。耶稣讲完话以后，腓力对他说：“主啊，求你把父显给我们看。”用现在的话来说呢，腓力啊就是一个现实主义者。你还记得在约翰福音第六章讲到的五饼二鱼的神迹吗？耶稣原晓得当怎样行，但是他为了试炼腓力，就问他：“我们从哪里买饼给这些人吃呢？”腓力的回答就看出来了，他是非常现实主义的。他说：“就算200个银币买的饼，每个人分一点也是不够的。”这话要怎么理解呢？今天在这个地方有男人5000，女的呢估计也有5000了，那么孩子怎么说也有2000-3000了，所以总体的人数已经过了13000。那如果要预备吃的，应该早做准备才对，现在你就是马上给我20两的银子也没有办法处理了。我们在这个地方就看到，我们每个人都容易变得跟腓力一样，用现实的困难来回答耶稣基督的吩咐，用自己的不信当成了一种理性来抵挡耶稣基督的吩咐。你是否还记得最近的一次，你是用怎样理性的话语，怎样眼见到的事情来回绝耶稣基督对你的邀请呢？好，最后一个呢，我们要来看到的就是保惠师这个单词。保惠师这个词呢，在第四卷福音书里面一共出现了4次，在约翰一书里面呢出现过了1次，此外呀，就再也没有在新约圣经中出现过了。这个词呢，在第四卷福音书当中每一次都是指向的是耶稣回到父神那里之后被差来与门徒同在的圣灵，但是当他出现在约翰一书里面的时候，指的却是主耶稣自己，说耶稣是信徒的中保。其实呢，这个没有任何的奇怪的地方， 因为在今天我们所看到的约翰福音十四章里面呢，耶稣描述圣灵是另一位保惠师，那言下之意就是说他自己也是一位保惠师。在古老的希腊文献当中呢，这个单词一直都是指辩护人，就说要替被告发言的一个人，而且呢都是替被告说有利于他的话。然而问题就是，当你只是把这个单词翻译成辩护人的时候呢，又不能够完全的诠释好它的所有含义。就像乐心刚才说到的，他在第四卷福音书约翰福音书里面一共出现了四次，那每一次呢根据上下文的理解，他都可以有多种不同角度的翻译。比如说在16到17节里面，他就指了圣灵是可以安慰门徒的，26节呢指的是圣灵可以教导门徒，到了15章的26节，圣灵还有一个功能是可以为耶稣做见证，到了16章的7到11节，圣灵的功能是让世人在罪、在义和审判的方面知道自己是有罪的。16章的13节就说到，圣灵可以引导门徒进入一切的真理，而且告诉他们将来的事情。所以啊，圣灵这个单词它在不同的地方，它可以被翻译成安慰者，可以翻译成老师、辩护人，也可以翻译成顾问、助手和导师。所以单单用一个词来表达它的所有功能呢，是基本上做不到的。这就是今天蓝天绿洲想和你分享的内容。如果你听完节目之后呢，有任何的感受，欢迎发送短信到13229966122，短信的开头请你加上蓝天。那么我们就在下期的同一时间不见不散。
Who, oh Lord, could save themselves? Their own soul could heal. Our shame was deep.